paste them on NetShop instructions, NetShop devotion, and other books, the Sandavas, Kiva Goswami, and the others. And, Goswami is the original. In the morning, take a bath, go to the temple, worship Dichi like we're here right now. We're in a very transcendental environment. It's easy to just kick back and relax on a good Wednesday or Friday night and just watch a movie or whatever with friends. But when you keep yourself in transcendence throughout the day, he mentioned something about the sandwich principle. In the morning, that one engages in class. He goes to Mangalati first, and then greetings, Guru Puja, and then class, and then afterwards you go preaching during the day, or you do your seva, which is what is happening here in Rodadesh. And then after that, partake prasadam in the morning and during lunch, and then after that you come to like 7 o'clock or aarti, Bhagavad Gita class, and then drink some milk. read on your own Krishna book. And that way you stay in transcendency. That's practical for us who are like still in the neophyte stage. We are just like the blunt metal rod. We have not acquired the qualities of the fire. The fire or the heat is the spiritual potency. The spiritual potency is always there. Actually, it's all around us. Even when you go to places where there is Maya, so-called Maya, it's there. But it's in a perverted, in its perverted form, it's called the achieved potency or Maya. And then that can be purified by the Sankirtan Harinam in town, book distribution. That's the purpose of devotees. Basically, we have to go to these places and give out what we have experienced through this sandwich process in the morning. We go distribute books, we talk to people about the literature, transcendental literature, and when we give out the holy name, basically, that's another way of fixing our mind without deviation, but on a regulative way. What does Krishna mean here by fixing the mind upon me without deviation? I've always, like when I read this verse, chapter text 9, I've always wondered what Krishna really means. It precedes other verses whereby he says one should engage all intelligence on me and in my form. And somehow in our neophyte stage, we try to focus on Krishna through pictures and some elements, even the Hare Krishna mantra on a written form, we try to focus on it. But what does Krishna really mean when he say focus on my form? Like in the neophyte stage, we are given the deity, that's the merciful incarnation of Krishna. Krishna incarnates kindly in a material form for us who are still embodied in material bodies, so that we can practice seeing him, because bhakti is a personal relationship with God. It's not something like impersonal. You have to just like imagine there's no form or vigraha of God, basically. That's why it's called Sachit Ananda Vigraha. That's the joy of devotional service right there. So, like as we see, devotees like Dhruva Maharaj, upon seeing the four-handed form of the Lord, Lord Narayan, he forgot everything. He forgot his material desires he had before he started on his meditation, and he was just absorbed in love of Godhead. Which means there's something about the form of Krishna. Although I'm not qualified to talk about such things, but there's something about the form of Krishna which attracts a devotee. To even one who's a neophyte, it attracts the devotee to continue, to move on, to soldier on, basically, just because of the form. It's so beautiful. It's not like material beauty. There's just something about it. If we even sing prayers in the morning, the Govinda Adi Purusham prayers, and they describe Krishna there, Tribhanga, holding a flute, Venam Konantam, and to all of us, I'm sure that form is it incites the attachment for Krishna within us, that is dormant within us. So that's why Prabhupada even instituted, or like he he actually started on the Govinda prayers with her grace, Yamuna David Asi. We're blessed with her voice there when we open the kitchens in the morning. So basically, what is to practice regulative principles? There are 9 stages of devotional service. I'll mention only 3 for now. Shravanam Ketanam, Vishnusmaranam, remembrance of Krishna, chanting the holy names, and hearing about Krishna's pastimes. So basically, there are others like establishing a friendship. That's the last one, one of the last ones. That's when one is saturated with the transcendental spiritual potency, and that's when one has some bhav or spontaneous devotional service in love, in ecstasy, or in love, basically. And then that's where one can exchange the melos freely with there can be exchange of melos between the living entity and the Lord. So Prabhupada describes the situation as Krishna being the diamond and us being the gold, something like that, in terms of material descriptions. But basically, Krishna grants buddhi or spiritual intelligence to one who has taken complete shelter to him. And then to those devotees who have taken complete shelter to him, he gives spiritual bliss. And then spiritual satisfaction, which comes with constant devotional service. One is always enthusiastic to be in devotional service when one is blessed with the spiritual bliss and spiritual satisfaction as bestowed by Krishna himself. And then it increases to such a point whereby it leads to love of Godhead or prema. So when we talk about prema, Prema is already there when described in Harinam Chintamani. We're surrounded by prema, even though as we speak. It's just a matter of removing the clouds or the anattas or the obstacles that make us not see. It's just like when we have clouds in the sky, the clouds are already, they come and go. They are not like, they are transient, they are temporal in nature, but the sun is always there. But when one is seeing the sun, even a glimpse of it, when the clouds clear a bit, that can be described as bhav, like the appearance of the sun. When the clouds completely disappear, and then that's when you see the clear sun, that's prema. So basically, that's another analogy for prema. Prema is already, the sun is already there. It doesn't disappear. It's just our vision, which is covered by the material potency, which makes us to be averse to free loving God, basically. So I'll also describe about the prescribed rules and regulations. I've already mentioned 4, which Prabhupada instilled when he started the movement. Other regulative principles or prescribed rules, they are mainly in the teachings of Lord Chaitanya. There's like, how many of them do you know? 64. Yeah, that's like very intense. When I read them, it's intense, but it's like it's geared towards one getting the full benefit of spiritual life. Like, for instance, going to places of pilgrimage, where great saints have been before, like in India. Here is like a place of pilgrimage too. It is not like it is a place of pilgrimage, as Prabhu has described before in a class, that this place is transcendental. And then one can also, prasadam taking is another form of regulation, because basically our tongues, they only do 2 things. We talk, we vibrate sound, and we taste eatables. What we vibrate is affected by the purity of our senses. Prasadam has this effect of purifying our senses. Everyone has experience of taking maha. Immediately afterwards, you just feel a buzz with spiritual energy. And then somehow you are able to vibrate like spiritual sounds, or even the chanting. For me, that's experience. The chanting becomes more like joyous after taking prasadam, and even talking about scripture becomes more joyful, basically. So this process of Krishna consciousness is joyful, even in the sadhana bhakti stage. It's very, very beneficial, and it looks like it's austere in the beginning, because it feels like poison, as it's described in later chapters. That in the mode of goodness in the beginning feels like poison, but after some time it's nectar. But that in the mode of passion in the beginning feels like nectar, but after some time it becomes poison, because it has to do with the mundane temporal senses. The mode of goodness requires one to be very patient, tolerant, and be at the mercy of the Lord all the time. Basically be humble and surrendered. One devotee in South Africa, Brahmachari from Mafeking, which is in the northwest of South Africa. I used to live with Brahmacharis, basically in the ashram, for 3 years, and they used to tell me that I used to ask them how they go on. They just used to tell me that one should always, that's another principle, should always stay in contact or in the association of devotees. And then I asked, what if they are not present physically? He said something about, this is a devotee right here. The Bhagavad Gita, you can read the Bhagavad Gita on your own, and you are in association with Prabhupada. You have, by the mercy of Yadubha Prabhu, you can also watch devotional videos by Srila Prabhupada, such as following Prabhupada and other videos. And then I learned from that period, how to regulate my devotional service with the help of other books. Of course, Narada Bhakti Sutra talk is a great source of devotional service or bhakti yoga. I started on reading the Bhagavad Gita every month. I had this tradition, habit of reading the Bhagavad Gita every month. Some of the knowledge is slipped now, but actually it's every page has become familiar, because I read it for like 12 months or 13 months, like 12 days allocated for each month, such that when I read it now, everything, the purports and everything, is just so familiar. And then when you are like chanting, or even when you are faced with a particular problem or obstacle in devotional service, by the mercy of Paramatma, who says is that just like the lamp, he destroys the darkness in the heart with the shining lamp of knowledge. So he says that this is Paramatma in his external form, and the Guru is Paramatma in a form that you can talk to, interact with. So basically, when you're in contact with Shastra or Guru and other devotees, you are able to stay on the path no matter what obstacles you are facing, basically. So this is as Prabhupada says here, now the heart has to be purified of material association, and the dormant natural love of Krishna has to be revived. Purified of material association means that we have to stay away, like our next of instruction says, that we have to stay away from Jnana Sangha, and we have to be in contact. Even what we read and the things we talk about, you have to, as Rasmandala Prabhupada pointed out, we have to like gear towards Krishna consciousness. It shouldn't be for destroying others or destroying even our own spiritual life, basically. So that's practice. But what about practice when you're like working, when you're outside the temple, you're living outside the temple, like when you're in a Kriyastha ashram and you have to like face so many difficulties in the outside world, how does one actually practice bhakti yoga in that principle? That has always puzzled me too, but I don't know, frankly, how one can go about it, because I don't have the experience of working. I've been in a temple for so long, I don't have the experience of working outside the purview of the temple. But basically, all I can say is that I have one friend in Botswana. He has like devotional pictures all around his like working desk, and even on some of the walls, much to the outcry of the Christians there, they don't like it, but he just places Radha and Krishna there, and he doesn't have a problem. He always sees the Lordship. So basically, and he always plays like Hare Krishna Maha Mantra and some devotional music also from the Vaishnava tradition. So in that sense, he stays on the platform, and he also gives the word some of his colleagues prasadam, and he also takes prasadam there. So basically that's a way to stay afloat, because the sandwich principles by Prabhupada, it's sort of like it's very, very advantageous for devotees who live in a temple. But for workers or people who like in outside world, it can be a challenge, it can be taxing. But it also works for them, because after coming from work you come to a temple, Guru Puja at 7, and I mean like a Gaura Aarti at 7, and you listen to a Bhagavad Gita class and you become purified through that process at that time. So basically, I don't know what time I'm supposed to stop. Quarter past. So, for these 10 minutes, are there any questions that or any comments, or should I? Yes. So, Jaon, we said we should soldier on. What does soldier on mean? It means determination. You remember Dhruva Maharaj, he stood on one leg practicing that mystic yoga system. That's soldiering on in Krishna consciousness. We can also have camouflage speed belts if you want. But actually, soldiering on means determination. And even if we are like faced with troubles or obstacles, there are obstacles which come from our own weaknesses. Like for instance, falling down to anathas and offending devotees, that's the biggest one. But there's a process for gradually coming back, rising. There's a verse in chapter 9 which talks about that if one commits even the most abominable, but that doesn't mean one should fall, like, you know, 9:30. Yeah, this is, okay. Even if one commits the most abominable action, if he's engaged in devotional service, he's to be considered saintly because he's properly situated in his determination. So this is for provided for people who are discouraged, who feel like they face like a fall downs and they are afraid of coming back to Krishna consciousness. Like Prabhupada gives that if you're like really sincere from the heart and you acknowledge that you made a mistake, you have to like come back. If you are really like if it comes to like a abominable action in terms of offending devotees, there's a process for like gradually coming back too. You have to beg for the mercy of the devotees, serve them incessantly, even if they don't offer you forgiveness. And in that way, Krishna in their heart, he's also in their heart. Paramatma is everywhere. He will gradually make them like they will soften against you gradually, even if they don't say. And basically, that's it. Basically, with anathas, that's one's own volition. You are faced with your own mind there. It's up to one to consider what is important, spiritual life or satisfaction of the temporal senses. The scripture is already there. It tells all the dangers. We have the nice fifth canto. It talks about the hellish planets too. And we can learn from that how to control our minds without putting our spiritual life in danger, basically. Is there any other comment or question so far? No. Hanging in there. Yeah, it's you mean, yeah, I don't remember saying that, but yeah, there should be more effort. Basically, I was talking from the point of view of like being a neophyte. It's you don't have the, you're not surrounded by pure love of God. You're just trying. And you're just like awaiting the mercy of the Lord. And you're surrounded by many obstacles from your own mind, other living entities, the default miseries, basically. So hanging in there basically doesn't mean just hanging by a thread and doing the minimum 8 rounds or whatever. It means that you are fighting. For instance, I'll make an example of what I do. I always have the habit of waking up early to chant. So like this week, because of sickness and the flu, I haven't been able to wake up at the required time that I usually wake up. But I always make sure that I chant the number of rounds I usually chant, even if I wake up late or there's some other problems during the day. That's hanging in there. It's like sticking with your vows, your vratas, no matter what. Even if you are lying on your deathbed in hospital, just continue chanting and hear spiritual songs, basically. We have seen many examples of that. Bhaktisiddhanta Swami, before he left his body, he was constantly meditating on the Lord, and he was surrounded by Vaishnavas. Hanging in there means that it's not like some form of weakness whereby you're just like, I'm just going to do the minimum. It means you add more and more and more. The more you add in spiritual life, I've discovered, is the more material energy is going to give you allurements or tests. So it's up to you to be honest with yourself and see the challenges imposed by material nature as a pat in the back, like, oh, I'm improving. The more challenges you are faced with, it means that you're progressing, actually. But if you're not facing challenges, I'm not saying that as a fact. If one is not facing many challenges, I feel like it's kind of my opinion. It means like there's something not, because I feel like challenges and difficulties in spiritual nature, as per Queen Kunti's statements in the first canto, are meant to push one towards complete surrender. That's why I'm still in the movement. I won't lie, I've been having troubles. Even here, I've faced a lot of difficulties. He described his daughter's self, like that, whatever, that Skype thing. And then afterwards, they are looking like drained. It's not like problems, but it's like, yeah, another nivriti. You are in a very... Yes.
Deep-seated. It's true. Mm.
It's a long time gone.
That's fine. Thank you. Thank you.
Shreemad Bhagavad Gita class, Gita, Jashra Pavana Gita, Jagora Pramanande.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare